For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple.
Have you found 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1? We'll begin there. And before we get into it, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Would you pray for me? Ask the Lord to help me. And I've already prayed for you, and I'll pray for you again, but let's ask the Lord to help us together. Father, we do thank you for this time in your word, and I pray that you would do what only you can do. Help us. And Lord, there's all kinds of things in this world that are offering help, but our help cometh from the Lord. And God, help us to find what we need today. Lord, help us to see what you want us to see and to know what you want us to know. And Lord, we thank you for this church and these people, and help us today. We ask in Christ's name, amen. The Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." This is not an unfamiliar verse to you, but I wanted to point out the word here in verse number 1 of chapter 3, perilous times shall come. And he goes on in verses 2 and further to describe the day that we're living in and the times of these last days, what people will be like. And then he says in verse number 12 or 13, excuse me, just to kind of sum it up, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." This is the perilous times that we're living in, these last days. And then if you look over at chapter 4 and verse number 2, he says, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And notice verse number 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables." But it says there in verse number 3, "The time will come when they will not endure." He says perilous times shall come. And then he says here that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And then if you look at verse number 6, this is Paul speaking. He's writing to Timothy, and he says in verse number 6 of chapter 4, "For I am now ready to be offered." And he says, "The time of my departure is at hand." The time of my departure is at hand. He says in verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." He mentions here in these couple verses two very imminent days that all of us will face. Two impending days that everybody in this room and everybody outside of this building will face. He mentions the day of departure. Have you ever thought about your day of departure? Paul says, "The day of my departure is at hand." It's close. It's closer than we may think. But then he also mentions another impending day, another imminent day that could happen at any moment. He mentions that day in verse number 8. That day, he said, God's going to give unto those who love his appearing at that day a crown of righteousness. But he mentions that day of the Lord's appearing. And that also is a day that could happen for all of us at any moment. It's impending. This could be the day, either for your departure or his appearing. And wouldn't that be great, by the way? Paul said to depart and be with Christ is far better. God said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." For a believer, that's a wonderful thing. And we sometimes, I think it's human nature, I guess, to put that off. And we think that the day of my departure is somewhere down the road. It's later. But Paul says that my departure, the day of my departure, he said it's at hand. I think the truth of it is, for all of us, we could say that that day is at hand. It may be closer than we really think. We shouldn't despise that day, although we don't hurry it. But it could be today, and it could be the day of the Lord's return. But Paul said, kind of in going with our theme, it's about time. Paul said, it's time. It's time. It is time. The day of his departure, as he was facing eternity, he said, I'm about to be offered up. Paul was going to be sacrificed. He was going to sacrifice his life for his faith, for his Christ. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. The day of the Lord is at hand, the Bible tells us. It could come as a thief in the night. And I would say this morning, it's time. And in light of these 2 days, there's some things that that we need to be ready for. There's some things that we need to realize that it's time for. It's time for us to be awakened. The Bible tells us to wake up. Awake, thou that sleepest. Scripture tells us to walk circumspectly because the days are evil. And in this day and age that we live in the perilous times, when evil men, seducers, are waxing worse and worse, they're deceiving and they're being deceived. In a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, which when preaching and teaching, like what we've heard here today through Sunday school, what we hear week after week in our pulpit, that kind of preaching, the Bible says there's coming a time when they'll not endure that kind of preaching. I would probably say today, it's that time. They're not enduring. People don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the preaching of the Word of God. But Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word. It's time. May I say these few things that I want to lay upon your heart this morning. Number one, it's time to settle your faith. It's time to settle your faith. Is your faith today, is it settled in Christ Jesus? Are you settled there on that solid rock of Jesus Christ? Paul says in verse number 7 of chapter 4, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Paul said, I have kept the faith. He said, I have kept it. He said, I have kept the faith. And that word kept means to guard, to hold closely. He said, I have kept the faith. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. And he said, I can say here on the doorstep of eternity, he said, that my faith is settled. Good. How could Paul say that? Can you say that on your day of departure? Is your faith settled as you sit here this morning? Can you know this with a certainty like Paul knew? That you've kept the faith. How could Paul say that? Go back to chapter 1 of this same book. In verse number 12. How could Paul speak so confidently that his faith was settled? Because he says in verse number 12 of chapter 1. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Speaking of the gospel and the gospel's sake. He said, I am not ashamed. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. How was Paul so settled in his faith? You see, you can either be settled in your faith or you can be unstable in your faith. Here this morning, I'm speaking to Christians at this moment, but You can have a settled faith or you can have an uncertain faith. You can have established faith or you can have an unsettled faith. And James speaks of our faith and he says, if we lack wisdom, ask of God. But he goes on to say, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, nothing unsettled, nothing uncertain, nothing unstable. He said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He says, but a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Like a ship that is tossed with the waves of the sea. You see, your faith is the foundation of your life. It is the foundation upon which everything else in your life is built. And if it's not settled, you're like this double-minded man, unsettled, to and fro, tossed. When life's circumstances beat against you, there's an uncertainty about it. When the onslaught from our enemy comes against us, the enemy, the devil, Lucifer, when he battles against us and our faith is unsettled, we begin to shake. When our feelings are up and down and in and out, if your faith is not settled, you'll not be able to say what Paul said. I have kept the faith. I know whom. So how do you know? How do you have a settled faith? You can't look to yourself. That's what every one of us are doing right now. We're thinking, well, my faith is this or that. And we start evaluating our ability to have faith. We start looking and saying, well, I try to be faithful. I try this and I do that. And the truth of it is, our faith is not founded in self or anything that we can do. Right. My faith is not settled upon my feelings. There are some days where my feelings, I don't feel faithful. How about you? Can I have a show of hands? There are some days where my faith is not what it needs to be, and the devil comes against me, and circumstances come against me, and the feelings that I have inside are saying the opposite of what I know to be true in my heart and the Word of God. And there's times where I cannot trust my feelings. How about you? So I can't go to my feelings. Well, I feel good, so I must be good. No. There may be times where you don't feel saved at all. Feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. My hope, my faith is in the Word of God. Not else is worth believing. Don't look to your feelings to settle your faith. Some people look for a feeling. Oh, I don't know if I got saved because I didn't feel it. Or I don't feel like I used to feel when I got saved. So they think they lost it or didn't have it at all. You know, Brother Reno preached about a mountaintop experience last night or yesterday, you know, on the Mount of Transfiguration with Christ. You know, we can't always live on that feeling of the mountaintop experience. We've got to come down off the mountain. And sometimes the feelings are up and down and we don't feel safe. So don't look to your feelings to settle your faith. The old devil will make sure that your feelings don't line up with what you know to be true. He'll make sure of that. He'll do things to discourage you. He'll throw things in the path. He'll give you all kinds of obstacles to try to get you to look to your feelings instead of your faith. It's a roller coaster ride, isn't it? Not looking to feelings, not looking to myself, not looking to an experience that I may have had to settle my faith. Do you know that you're saved today? And I'm not asking you, do you know that there was a time you can remember, and that is important, by the way. There needs to be a salvation moment, a new birth. You don't grow into salvation. You're born and then you grow. You're born again and then you grow. But if you're going back to an experience that you can remember to settle your faith, what about the day when you can't remember? The further you get from that experience, maybe the fuzzier it could get. So you don't settle your faith and establish your faith and say, I know whom I have believed. by looking back to an experience that you had. Some people put it all, bundled all up their faith in something they did, something that happened. But no, our faith needs to be settled in one thing only. Like Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know what I have believed. He said, I know whom I have believed. Look at the verse again, verse number 12. I want you to draw some connections with these words. I know whom. Mark it. I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded. Are you persuaded in Christ today? Are you persuaded about Him? Do you know whom you believed? That He is able. He is able. We sing the song with our children. He is able. He is able. I know He is able. Do you know He is able today? Is your faith settled in Him and His ability? He is able, Paul said, to keep that which I've committed unto Him. Unto Him. You want to have settled faith? Take all that you are, your never dying soul, and commit it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, if you don't save me, nothing will. If you can't keep me, nothing will. If you can't settle my faith, nothing will settle my faith. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And he said, I am persuaded. Do you sit here this morning persuaded in Him? Are you persuaded that He is able? Nothing you can do, nothing you can feel. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know. Do you know Him this morning? If you're here lost today, would you put your faith in Him? Would you settle it today and say, I'm not worried about what I did, who said this or who said what or how I felt or what I'm thinking now or my feelings. I'm going to settle my faith in the rock of Jesus Christ. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I'll trust the ever-living One. His wounds for me doth plead. The song says, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough. It is enough that Jesus died. That He died for me. Is your faith settled like that? It is enough for me. Is it enough for you? In this ever-changing world, in these perilous times, in this dark day, is it enough for you when the worst of worst happens in your life to say, my faith is settled? When it's time for my day of departure, when it's time for the day of the Lord's return, my faith is settled in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to settle your faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's time, number one, to settle your faith. Number two, may I say, it's time to speak firmly. It's time to speak firmly. Look again in chapter 1, verse 13. The very next verse, Paul says, hold fast the form of sound words. Would you note that word, sound? He said, hold fast the form of sound words. And then if you look over in our text in chapter 4 and verse number 3, he tells them to preach the word, and then he says in verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The word sound, he says sound words, sound doctrine. The word sound means founded, firm, unbreakable. He said to hold fast the form of sound words, firm, sound doctrine. In this day of evil men, in this day of deceivers and many being deceived, in a day when men and women will not endure sound doctrine, when they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You understand that? They heap to themselves. They choose for themselves those who will tell them what they want to hear. A teacher with itching ears, you know, one that just wants to hear people say, well, that was a good lesson. Boy, I really liked what you said there. Oh, I really appreciated that. because it pleased the hearer. And people will heap to themselves that kind of teaching, that kind of doctrine. They'll accumulate that to themselves. They'll pile it up and they'll say, oh, this is great. This is what we want. But they will not even endure sound, firm, settled, bold doctrine. And in this day and age, in that scene, it's time for we as God's people who know this book to speak firmly, to speak the sound words. Now more than ever, it's time to speak firmly. Peter said in his letter, 2 Peter, he said, to be ready always. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you. Are you ready today? If someone were to question you, or if someone were to challenge you about what you believe, about everything from Christ and His blood atonement, like His sacrifice for our sins, can you give an answer for that? If someone said, why does it take all that blood? Why does it take a sacrifice? Why does it? Could you give an answer? If someone were to question what you believe about eternal salvation, eternal life, why do you believe that the phrase that's used, once you're saved, you're always saved? By the way, that's not scriptural language. That's not sound words. Jesus says, I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Everlasting life. You see, if you use the Bible words, if you use the sound words, it has much more impact than the words that come from man. So speak in scriptural words. Speak those things that Jesus said. Speak those things that were given to us in Scripture. And if you say, if Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, He says, I give it. That's a present possession. It's something we now have. It's not something we will get if we hold on, if we persevere to the end. It's something He gives His sheep, and it's eternal life. It will never perish. And He tells us that no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. I'm asking you, can you speak firmly in this day about your faith? It's time to speak firmly. I want you to see there again in chapter 1, verse 13, he calls it sound words. It's time to speak sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. That's from your teacher, your predecessor, those who are passing the faith on to you, passing on these truths to you. He says, hold fast. They're sound words. It's time for us to speak sound words. Then look at chapter 2, verse number 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Not only are they sound words, but they should be the same words. They are the same words. They're words that have been handed to us by those who have taught us the Scriptures. Look, if you would, at chapter 2, verse 24. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. But notice the words here. He says, as we're speaking, we must not strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, patient, with meekness instructing. As we speak, they must be soft words. Sound words, yes, firm, knowing the truth, and they are unbreakable, unshakable truths as we speak them. But he says to do it with meekness, instructing, gentleness, patience. There's never any room for a Christian to be crude and ugly and brutish about what we believe. That's not scriptural. That's not Christ-like. And I'm not saying we can't stand up and preach, and there is a time for a thus saith the Lord and to preach the word and all of those things. I'm not saying we can't be forceful about it. But he says as we're speaking the truth, to speak it in love. Speak it softly, with patience, meekness. It's time to speak soft words. If you read on in the verse 25, he says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. They're saving words, aren't they? They're saving words that we're to speak to help recover someone out of the snare of the devil. To pull them out of his clutches. You see, if we're not careful, we'll just make an enemy out of them. If we're not careful, we'll jam it down their throats and they won't want to hear what we have to say, and we'll make an enemy out of them. And I'm not saying to cut the corners and to take away the truth, but I'm saying to speak it in love in a way that we, peradventure, if by chance, God will put a seed in their heart. By the way, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So we're to speak the same way, right? With goodness, with patience, with mercy, with meekness towards people. If by chance God may give them repentance in their heart and recover them from the snare of the devil, it's time to speak saving words. It's time to speak scriptural words. And I've covered that, but look, if you would, in chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is not just some book. These are not just some men's thoughts. These are the very heart words of God, what he wants us to know about him. And we're to speak scriptural words. It says, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Maybe that's not the case for you. Maybe it is. But all of us have the responsibility to do what it says in chapter 3. Study to show thyself approved, so that we can speak scriptural words. It's time to be able to speak firmly. It's time to settle your faith. And may I say this, number 3, it's time for a strong finish. It's time for a strong finish. Back to what Paul said in chapter 4. If you turn there, chapter 4, verse number 6, he says, notice, for I am now ready. Can you say that today? Can I say that today? I have to evaluate myself. Can I say what Paul said today? I am now ready. Are you ready to finish the course? Are you ready, like Paul says, have you fought a good fight? Have you finished your course? Are you ready to keep the faith? Can you say, like Paul says, I am now ready today? The crazy thing about it is we don't know when our finish line is. We don't know where our finish line is. So we have to be ready now. We have to be ready now for a strong finish. And if we're not moving strong, if we're not fighting the faith, if we're not keeping the faith, fighting the good fight, we're not going to finish strong. But Paul said it's time. It's time for a strong finish. It's easy to say, I will be ready. That's easy to say. We put off things, don't we? We procrastinate. Well, I'll be ready when the time comes. We don't have that luxury. We don't have the luxury as God's people to say, I will be ready. The Lord told us to keep our candles trimmed and burning. In that parable of those virgins who are waiting on the bridegroom to come. Keep those candles, keep those wicks trimmed and burning, and be ready always. He says, I am now ready. Notice what Paul says in verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Again, he mentions his day of departure when he's finished his course. And he mentions that day, the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. And let me say this, as we're talking about a finish, this whole thing is going to come to a glorious finish. It's going to come to a glorious finish when the Bible says that the sky will split and Jesus Christ is going to appear in that cloud and all of us are going to be raptured up out of here that know the Lord Jesus Christ. And someday, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. It's going to be a glorious finish. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's going to be a glorious finish. As Paul mentions his appearing, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. It's going to be a glorious finish, but here's the question for you and I. How will I finish? How will you finish? Will it be a strong finish? Look at the example here given. Paul is speaking of himself, and then he tells of one who didn't finish. He says in verse number 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas, a name that is recorded in Scripture for all of us, for all of time in the eternal Word of God, Demas's name is recorded to tell us how he finished. How he finished. In contrast with how Paul was finishing. And the Bible says that Demas, Paul said, hath forsaken me. He's left. He's forsaken the ministry, forsaken the faith, having loved this present world. You see, Demas fell prey to a trap that all of us are capable of falling to. Loving this present world more than the next. He was living for the temporal rather than living for the eternal. And it allured him away. It pulled him from a strong finish. Pulled him away from a strong finish. If you go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 6, we'll be done. Just a moment, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6. The biggest threat probably to all of us finishing strong is the same threat, the same thing that got Demas, a love for this present world. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." There's two worlds mentioned here. This world and the next. The one that we came into by birth, and then we're coming out of it and going into the next one through our day of departure or the Lord's appearing. But he tells us here that the things of this world, if we're not careful, will keep us from finishing strong. And I'm not talking about your salvation. That needs to be settled back in point number one. That needs to be settled in the person of Christ. You've got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's settled and done with in Christ. But I'm talking about how you finish. I'm talking about that crown that Paul says is for those who love the appearing of God. Will you receive that crown? He warns us here. He says, "For we brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out. It's certain. There is a certainty about that. We can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." My, oh my. We have so much more than food and raiment, don't we? Yeah. We have so much more than that. And if we're not careful, we live for so much more than food and raiment. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation." He's not saying that there's anything wrong with having these things. But they that will be rich, they that will to be rich, those who are seeking after it, if you're going after those things, living for this world instead of the next, he said it can become a temptation and a snare and bring you into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil. The love of money. It has to do with our desire. Has to do with our focus. He says, "Which while some coveted after," verse 10, look, "they have erred from the faith have not finished strong, but they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He said in the first part of this book, he said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days some shall depart from the faith. Some shall depart from the faith, but let me tell you, Christian, today, you don't have to. You don't have to be snared by this world. You don't have to be lured away and drown and pierce yourself through and err from the faith. Finish strong. It's time for God's people to determine, like Paul, I'm going to fight a good fight. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to live for Christ with all that He's given me in this world. I'm going to live for Him with all that I have. Dr. Sexton, who just went to heaven, said, if I had seven lifetimes, he said, I'd give every one of them to Christ. Amen. I'd give every one of them. It's time for a strong finish. It's going to be a strong finish, a glorious finish. How will you finish? It's time to settle your faith today. If you're here today and it's unsettled, would you find that settling place upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? It's time in this day and age for us to speak firmly. Do you know how to answer to every man that asketh you? Do you know how to give an answer for your faith? And then it's time for us to finish strong. A strong finish.